This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas. We're always encouraged to know that God is using the Ark to bless people's lives. If you have a story to share about how God's working in your life, submit your story by visiting blessing.thearkchurch.com.
We've been talking about, we've kind of morphed into this, but we've been talking about blessings, and we've kind of gotten into the area of last week we talked about meditating in God's Word. So I'll talk a little bit more about that tonight, try to see if we can wrap this thing up tonight. So let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. Now, you came tonight. You made the effort to come. I believe if you showed up, you ought to get something. How many of you think that's fair? And so what it takes is it's a mutual thing. And so as we're trusting the Lord, He can give me words that can speak directly into something that you may be dealing with. Or sometimes I can be speaking and you can get insight into something that I'm not even talking about. I mean, we can't limit the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful and thankful for all that you have done for us. We are thankful, Father, that we have your word which reveals your ways and your thoughts. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is the teacher. And I just ask tonight, Father, that He would use me to speak words that have accuracy, that have clarity, words that bring light into dark situations and healing into hurting situations. And Father, tonight, we just look to you. You are the source of every good thing. We receive tonight your grace, your wisdom. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Psalms 1 through 3 has been our text. Let's read it again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And I often, that last part certainly sounds like a blessing. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. How do you know trees planted by water are fruitful all the time? Green growing all the time. There's a life source there. Planted by rivers that brings forth fruit in its season. Leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does prospers. That's a good deal. So we're talking about some of the things we've been saying over and over again. If you want God's blessings, we do things God's way. And to do things God's way, then we've been talking about how in the world do we begin to adjust our ways to God's ways. And that's a process. And the process comes as we begin to take God's word, begin to apply it into our lives. Now, last week we talked about the instruction to kings. God gave instruction to kings in Deuteronomy. And he told kings, he said, don't get focused on horses. Don't get focused on having too many wives. Don't get focused on multiplying greatly money for yourself. He wanted the king's focus to be on God and ruling the country. But he said, you need a copy of this book. You need to write it. You need to read it. You need to remember it. Many times, I know you hear me, if you've heard me for any length of time, Alan, you're always on reading your Bible. You're big on reading your Bible. You know, the Bible's big on reading the Bible. This is not like something like, wow, this is a new thing I came up with, and I just really wanted to pound people with it. Yeah, read your Bible. It's always been in God's Word. We have an opportunity to understand God's Word and God's ways. So that's a wonderful thing. So I want to read another passage that talks about meditation. And it's a very well-known passage from the Old Testament. And it's in the book of Joshua. Joshua was the guy that had the dubious distinction of following Moses. Moses, remember, was Moses of, when he was of Egypt, he went back. He was the Moses that had the rod. Remember, he stretched the rod out, the Red Sea parted. A lot of wild things happened with Moses. He'd been pretty big in the history of Israel. Now Joshua is following him. So let's start reading in Joshua 1:1-5. Guys, if y'all have got the hazers running, it looks like there's a cloud. I've been having a hard time seeing the back. I know they're back there. But if y'all could kind of chill that hazer out, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Joshua 1:1-5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Now, here are the instructions to Joshua. First, you start off with Moses is dead. You know, it's interesting that God actually took Moses. They never found him. God buried him. They didn't find him. You wonder why that is. Here's my opinion on that. You notice God does not set up shrines to people. If Moses, if they had buried him, man, that people have a tendency, man, they'll set up a shrine in a heartbeat. But God always wanted Israel's dependence not to be on somebody who had died, but on the God who's still alive. And that God who's still alive can use other people. You ought to be careful about people looking back. And I realize sometimes as you get older, people start looking back. I remember the way it used to be. Yeah, I remember the way it used to be too. No cell phones, 3 channels. I didn't like it. And so let's, I'm glad for there are certain elements of what was in the past that was good. But quite honestly, we're not going to move forward looking back. And you don't move forward with God looking back to the way things used to be. You have to understand, God, what are you doing now? What are you saying now? How are you working now? And let me be a part of that. And so he said, Moses is dead. He said, now your turn is to rise and go over. Now, he's talking to Joshua, and he gave Joshua some wonderful promises. Look at what he told him. He said, I have given you this land. You ever notice that God speaks like that? He speaks in present tense. I've already given it to you. It wasn't theirs yet, but he said, I've given it to you. So in other words, God looks at things differently. He says it's yours, whether they saw it or not. He said, I've given you this land. He said, and no man's going to be able to stand before you. In other words, there's nobody that's going to be able to stop you. People might rise up against you. They are not going to stop you. And then he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a woo-woo right there. Like you were with Moses big time. That means you're going to be with me. And you would have thought that God would have stopped right there. That's all we need. He's given us the land. Nobody's going to be able to stop me. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. But God continues his instructions. Look what happens next. Joshua, the next verse, guys, you'll put that. Be strong and of a good courage. Now, watch this. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Remember we said if you want God's blessing, you do things God's way. And so this is what he's telling Joshua. Joshua, you want my blessing? He said, you're going to have to stay on the path that I've already ordained for you. Now, isn't it interesting that God told him twice? In fact, he's going to tell him a third time. He said twice, be strong and very courageous. Be strong. Why do you think he would tell him be strong and courageous if he would not have a tendency to have something scare him or something drive him off that path? Even though he's had all these promises, we have to look at the promises in context. All these wonderful promises, and yet you hear him say, be strong and courageous, Joshua. You're going to have to stiffen up, Joshua. You're going to have to be strong. And he began to say, strong and courageous. I had 2 dogs growing up. Actually, I had more than that. But one time I had 2 together. And I had a poodle, a miniature poodle. And his buddy was a Great Dane, a big Great Dane. And those 2 were running buddies. The poodle had a lot of courage. He would take on anything, but he didn't have any strength. The Great Dane wasn't really courageous, but he had a lot of strength. Combination was pretty powerful. The poodle would walk up into another dog's yard, hike his leg on another dog's bush, and then do that, you know how they do the dog with it like that? I used to watch it happen, man. And Great Dane would be sitting out there in the road. Poodle's the one venturing into other. Man, dogs, I grew up in an area where dogs could run loose. Man, dogs come off the porch, and they're just like about to attack the poodle, and the Great Dane would step in. Kind of like, Great Dane was like the J.J. Watt of dogs. He was just like, and usually he'd clean up. They were a combination until the Great Dane died. It's bad for the poodle. I think every dog in the neighborhood lined up outside our driveway going, come on out. But the combination, you need strength and courage. You need the strength, the ability to, and the ability to deal with something, but you also need the courage to face it. And he told Joshua, he said, you're going to have to be strong and you have to be very courageous. So he kept talking to them about this. And then here were his instructions furthermore going in verse 8. He said, this book of the law, again, he's talking to Joshua, the book of the law, we would say God's word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now that's a powerful passage right there. And he starts to talk about something. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You remember last week, we talked about learning to speak God's word out of your mouth. And the importance, because there really is a powerful connection between what's in your mouth and what's on your mind or what's in your heart. And so he's telling Joshua, he said, don't let this book depart out of your mouth. Now, that doesn't mean you speak the Bible all the time. What he's saying is your words need to line up with what's in the book. Don't let that depart out of your mouth. He said, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And people go, okay, time out, time out. There's no way you can meditate, think about God's word day and night. I got a job to do. I got to keep my mind on my job. You ought to see my family in the morning, Alan. I got kids, and it's a wonder they all get out of the house alive. And it's, you know, we got stuff. I can't meditate on God's word day and night. I don't believe God would tell us to do something we had the inability to do. And so, but here's the thought. We're not saying that you sit down in a corner and hold your hands up and quote God's word all day. But let me ask you this. Have you ever had a problem that stayed with you all day? And you're doing your work, and all of a sudden, you take a moment's rest, and that problem just pops up. Anybody? Yes. You're on your way home. You're dry. I've driven home sometimes. And when I got home, I didn't remember driving home. I was not drinking. Lest any of you should wonder. No. I was thinking about something all the way home, and it's kind of, I drove home by autopilot. You ever done that? So here's one thing. Usually you notice we do that on negative things. If we can do it on negative things, what if we took something positive and thought about it? Now, I realize this is a different mindset, guys. It's a different thought, but God's telling Joshua. Joshua, he said, you're going to take this whole country over into this land. It's your land. I've given it to you. I'm going to be with you, but you're going to have to be strong. And you're going to have to be courageous. Why? Because there's all kinds of Hittites and Jebusites and all them ites that don't want you coming in. You got enemies in this land. We're living in a world, and I know you know this, we're living in a world where not everyone says praise the Lord. We're living in a world where there's some nasty stuff going on. There's some ugly. I have never seen our country more adversarial than it is right now, ever. Ever. We ought to really kind of figure out who it is. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's the enemy. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We need to understand what we're dealing with. And some of you are going, I thought the Democrats were the enemy. No, 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 no. Just ruin someone. Lock the doors. Don't let anybody out. The idea is that we're living in a world that's got a lot of ugliness in it. There's a lot of things that are coming against it. The Bible is constantly reminding us, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And then he said, because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. There's a lot of junk that's in this world that's negative. And if you're going to live for God, it's going to take some earnest effort, and it's going to take some diligence. And one of the best ways that you can begin to do that is begin to take some of God's Word and begin to apply it to your life. So, Alan, the Bible is a big book. How am I going to apply the entire Bible? I'm not saying you have to speak the entire Bible, but you can find verses that apply to the areas of your life that are challenging. I've often said that in all of our thinking, because most all of us were raised, unless you were raised in an extremely godly home, most of us were raised where just there were certain levels of dysfunction and certain levels of unbelief, certain levels of junk. And we learned to think by generations of what we've grown up with. Any of you ever noticed that whether you ever thought you would or not, you are a lot like your parents? Or you've done things that's like you saw your parents do that and you went, I'm never going to do that. And you wound up doing it. And you're like, I can't believe I just did that because I swore I wouldn't. But we learn things and we grow. I really believe every one of us has what I call holes in their thinking. Areas where we're going along just fine and all of a sudden, man, just something can cause you to trigger. Man, your thoughts go to a wrong place. Anybody, does that make sense?
Yes.
Good to have a small but vocal amen corner. I saw something the other day, and this is what it reminded me of. You got that little clip? Can you roll that YouTube clip? You might remember this game. I've often thought that our thinking is like this. We're rocking along. Whoop. Down we go. And, you know, it's a defensiveness or relationship situation. Yeah. The idea is, you say, well, Alan, anybody remember that game? Okay, anybody ever complete all the way finish that game? Let's go ahead. We'll pray for liars right now. Go ahead. I just think that was one of those games that somebody created just to tick everybody off because nobody's going to be able to do it. But the idea is that oftentimes I have found in my own life there are holes in my thinking. And I can be going on and something can happen and it can immediately trigger a negative thought. And my thoughts go to a bad place. If that's not you, just indulge me just for a moment. But what I found is, and especially because in the past I had dealt with depression. And in depression, those of you who've ever dealt with it, you know where the dark holes are and what some of the trigger points are. You could be doing fine and then someone could say something. Maybe they say something about you and that doesn't bother you. Some of you, it floors you. Maybe they say something about your kids and that just, you just go ballistic. You're like, right there. All of us, listen, nobody can point the finger at anybody else. Every one of us has holes. Here's the objective. We need to plug the holes up. I saw another one of those YouTube videos where somebody was showing it and he put large marbles in all the holes. Well, that obviously makes the game not even a game or fun anymore, but it works. He put marbles in the holes and the little steel ball can't drop. And I'm thinking, God, that's what your word does. When I begin to put your word in my heart, it begins to plug holes. Yes. And then when those thoughts come, and usually it would just go, and you're able, something comes up on the inside of you, you're able to handle it. Let me just give you one, all of us. In fact, I'm going to talk about it Sunday. Everybody deals with some level of fear. True?
Yes.
Don't buy into the idea that fear is good for you. I'm not talking about a fear if I walk across I-45, I'm going to get hit by a vehicle. That's just called stupid. I'm talking about a fear of rejection, a fear of failure, a fear of being hurt, a fear that causes someone that won't take any risk, a fear. There's too many fears. And the enemy uses fear a lot. And so you say, Alan, how do I deal with fear? Well, thank God God's word speaks to that. And God never wanted his people to live in fear to begin with. In fact, Paul wrote Timothy, he said, He said, you need to stir up the gift of God within you, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said, we can boldly say, Hebrews 13:6, he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So we have options. But the idea is, if you don't know you have options, that's a hole for you. And the fear comes, and if you don't know to resist it, you say, well, what in the world do I resist it with? That's where God's word becomes so powerful. It is powerful. It is living and powerful. And if you begin to put it in you, here's what can happen. One, then when the thought comes, you catch it, and then you go, no, that's just a fearful thought. No, I'm not going to think that. And you begin to catch them before they drop down. You go down to a deep, dark place. You know, think of the bad thing about fear is fear pulls us off track for what God wants to do in our life. He kept telling Joshua, be strong, be courageous. Guys, this church almost did not get started. It wasn't God's fault. It was because I was afraid. I'd already failed once. Perry and Patty, you remember when I came back? Went to North Carolina, came back. Nobody even wanted to talk to me. It's kind of like, what happened? Well, it didn't work. And they're like, hmm. Sometimes we don't even understand how to deal with failure. And I failed and came back. But I didn't want to start again. And the Lord kept prompting me to start a church. And I was afraid. If I had continued to yield to that fear, we wouldn't have had this church. God isn't going to pick you up and shake you like a rag doll, make you do something. We still have a free will. And so the fear is an enemy. I know people say, well, fear is good for you. No, it's an enemy. And it needs to, you need to help your kids with it. Afraid, fear, I'm afraid. I just read a recent report, anxiety is at an all-time high in our country. Well, that's a nice word for fear, is at an all-time high. But God doesn't want us afraid. Well, Alan, I feel somewhat afraid. We got fear all over there. What am I going to do? Well, this is where we're going to have to take God's word, and we're going to have to speak it. Here's one of the best things you can do for fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And you can speak that on the way to work, in your car. You know, now with those hands-free phones, people don't know if you're talking to yourself.
That's right.
Right? You see someone down the road talking, you just automatically assume they're talking on the phone. Hands-free, baby. We're just hands-free. They don't know you're talking to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You haven't given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love. Just try it. Try it for 5 minutes. Then you can try it for a little bit longer. What are you doing? That's meditating. The word meditate means to mutter or ponder with the emphasis on learning it so that you can do it. So anyone ever have a presentation that they've ever had to do? Public speaking bothers a lot of people. And you're like, maybe you had to give a speech at school, or you had to give a presentation, or you had to give something at work. How many of you know that if you're going to give a presentation and you're going to get graded on it, you're going to go over that the night before? Like seriously, like a gazillion times, right? And you're going to go over it again. Anyone ever sit with their child who has to give a presentation? And how many times do they go over it? No, darling, let's go do it again. No, you need to just do it again. Do it again. We don't have any problem doing that for school. Why can't we take God's word, which is life to us and health to all our flesh, why can't we take God's word and go over it and over it until it begins to get on the inside of us and it begins to plug the holes and reprogram? Now, The reason that sounds strange is because no one just talks about doing that. And yet if you talk to athletes, if you talk to anyone who is performance oriented, listen to them talk about the words that come out of their mouth. Do you hear athletes talking? Athletes don't go, we're going to get killed. It's going to be, they're big. They are really big. And they're a lot stronger than we are. And we've never been good. We stink. We're going to get killed. You don't want your quarterback talking that way. Your quarterback's talking that way, coach is going to jerk him up and go, what are you doing? We're going to win this game. Coach, there's no way we're going to win this game. We're sorry. We're going to get killed. Be careful. But in athletics, People talk positively. So what I'm saying is this. Listen, we're in something that has more value than just a game. We're in life. And in life, we've got things to do. We've got places to go. Until God calls us home, we've got something to do. We need to be strong and courageous. To live for God today, you need to be strong and courageous. I think it's taking more strength and courage to live for God now, because now you stand up and go, I love God. And there are plenty of people who are willing to stand up and go, you're crazy. That's why church is important. So you can come in and look around and go, I can't be that crazy. I see other people here. So we can encourage one another. So we can, but what happens when you're not in church? What happens when it's the dark times of your life and it's Friday night and no one's calling you and you're lonely and those thoughts begin to come in about you're lonely. Nobody cares for you. You're lonely. Nobody cares for you. You're lonely. Why don't you end it all? You're not worth loving anyway. Why don't you end it all? Those thoughts come to people. Those thoughts have to be stopped. And so if you have God's word, you can take his word that says, he said he would never leave me or forsake me. I am not alone. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And I believe that God loves me. He loved me enough to send his son. You got to have something to combat those thoughts. Yes. Suicide is a horrible thought that comes to people and tells them it doesn't matter. Your life doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's not coming from the Holy Spirit. That's not coming from God. That's straight out of the pit of hell. Amen. And you have to be. No, we recognize that. You've heard me talk before about driving up a bridge and a crazy thought hits. Drive off the bridge. And then we took an informal poll, and I wasn't the only one that's ever had that thought. And what we found out is this. We recognize that's a crazy thought. That's a destructive thought. I rebuke that thought. But there are other thoughts that come. We need to be just as adamant. No one cares from you. You ought to stand up and go, I rebuke that thought. God loves me. I got a place in heaven. I know he loves me. And by the way, the most important thing is who I love, not who loves me. You got it. Or it drops in the hole. So many thoughts are dropping in holes. We need to plug the holes. So, Alan, I deal with a horrible self-esteem. There's answers for that. God has answers for that. Alan, I deal with this fear of dying. There's answers for that. Alan, I deal with a fear of being left, and I'm so afraid in my relationships, and I'm so clingy on my relationships because I'm afraid that people are going to leave me. There's answers for that. We have to plug the holes. And so you have to find those scriptures that begin to speak to your heart and speak to your life. Some of you are so plagued by the thought of something happening to your kids, it's almost paralyzing. And that's not God. And that's not his plan for your life. Everyone else will say, Alan, that's normal. Hey, no. Not for God's children. Not for once God has loved. Not for once he's redeemed. Can we not pray for our kids? Can we not believe that God can protect them? Can we not believe? Can we believe he gives his angels charge over us? They guard us in all our way. Can we believe for these things? So I'm intelligent. I don't believe in angels. Listen, I drive in Houston. I believe in angels. I believe they're out there. But what we're saying, but if my thoughts have gone so bad for so long, what do I need to begin to do? Begin to find some scriptures and intentionally go over them. God told Joshua, you meditate in this word. Meditate actually means to speak. Learn to speak them out loud. Speaking them out loud helps to register them on your heart. Now, I'm not saying you sit at your cubicle at work and go, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. God has not given me a... No, don't do that. Don't do that. That will have you talking with HR quicker than you want to. Well, we all have private times and we all have quiet times. Joy and I have just learned, and we've learned over the years, that we have scriptures that we've gone to. She's had the staff on Proverbs 3 for a long time. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways I acknowledge him and he'll direct my paths. Now, I don't have to ask for a show of hands, but I would bet you there are some people in here who need wisdom and direction for the days ahead. Yes. Wouldn't it be good that instead of going, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea. And everyone looks at you and go, yeah, I got it, man. You got no idea. What if, instead of going, I have no idea, I have no idea, what if in your quiet time, your time of reflection with the Lord, you took that verse and began to say, Lord, I trust in you with all my heart. I'm not leaning on my own understanding and all my ways. I acknowledge you, and you are directing my path. Lord, I'm acknowledging you, and you are directing my path. I'm acknowledging you, and you're directing my path. You can just speak those scriptures to yourself. You go, well, Alan, I don't need to speak it for 5 minutes. I got it. Are you sure? Remember, we're plugging holes here, not just memorizing scripture. What's happened is our staff has said that when problems have popped up, but they've come back and told Joy. Joy's the one who does this. Joy's the tiger mom of the staff. And she's having them go over this verse and over this verse and over this verse. And what they've said is problems have come. Someone's found out her husband was in an accident. Another young man on our staff found out his father was being rushed to the ER. They said, Joy, the first thing that came up in my heart was, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and not lean on. Why? It came up in them because it was in them. You see what? Instead of going, oh my God, they had God's word in there and it plugged a hole. Does that make sense? Okay. And we're out of time. Okay, let's. You guys listen so well. I appreciate it. Would you bow your head just for a moment? We always give an opportunity for people. They've come in here, and even though we've talked about subjects and maybe you've thought, well, they're not talking to me. I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I've been so far away from God. Does this apply to me? Yeah, it applies to you. We're glad you're here. We love you. One of the biggest things that we operate as a church is so that people like you can come in and have a wonderful environment that they can say yes to Jesus Christ, yes to His salvation, yes to His restoration. So tonight, before we go, sitting right in your chair, we're not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front, but if you're here and you say, Alan, I would like to really have a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never made Him my Lord, but I want to. Or, like, Alan, I would like to come back to the Lord. I want to be reunited again. I want everything God's got for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you that I'm talking to, would you just have the courage just to lift your hand and go, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Thanks. Yes. 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 All in the back there. Great. Thank you. Good move. Good move. All right, let's pray. You can put your hands down. Maybe you did lift your hand you wanted to. That's okay. You can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray it with you out loud. You're not alone. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer tonight. Father, for those who have come back into fellowship with you, for those who have received your eternal life for the very first time, what a blessing that is. And Father, for all of us here, thank you. By your Spirit, Father, highlight to us areas where we can plug holes in our thinking. Plug holes, Father, that never should have been there. But Father, thank you that your Word and your Spirit are so much more powerful. And we just rejoice in that. We give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.